The following takes place between 9 a.m. and 10 a.m. Events occur in real time.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to FPC Radio Live. It's Wednesday. We're a little bit behind, but hey, we're here, and we got about 49 minutes to talk nonsense to y'all, so we're happy that you are joining us. And hey, we want to hear from you, so let's start the show off with a bang. If you want to call in, if you want to text us, have any opinions whatsoever on anything, let us know. We'll chat about it. 626-310-8882. One more time, 626-310-8882. We're going to have some fun today. There's a bunch of stuff to talk about. And of course, we always try to squeeze in a bit of nonsense. But before we get to the nonsense, we got to bring on the king of nonsense himself, or at least, you know, useless knowledge, Mr. Mike Debate. Mike, what's up, buddy?
La, la, la. King of useless knowledge, huh?
I believe Peter Cox wrote a song about you.
Well, you know, it's hard to ignore the evidence, but yeah. You know what? In any case, it's nice to be the king of something. Yeah. So I guess that, you know, I'll take it. I'll take it at this point, and I think we'll be in good shape. Now, all kidding aside, it's Wednesday. We're here to get you through the hump day, folks, here on FBC Radio Live. You're right. A lot of good stuff to talk about. Some interesting anecdotes on the way for you. And as always, we'll keep you updated with the latest in the world of professional sports, because we are contractually obligated to do so.
Well, you know, it's funny because I told you a little anecdote right before we got on the air about...
You did?
I did, and I'm going to share it with everyone because that's what I want to do. I want you guys to experience things how I experience it. And for the first time in my life, I got a call from my mechanic. I dropped my car off to get some work done. Pre-planned, you know, this was anticipated, you know, this wasn't a shock. This wasn't, you know, something went awry. This is all pre-planned, but I've never in my life, and maybe you have, Mike, maybe you can enlighten me, but I've never in my life gotten a call from my mechanic, and the first thing he tells me before he gives me the estimate is maybe I should email you the invoice first. So right off the bat, I'm like, oh, okay, so maybe this might be a little bit more expensive than I anticipated, and it was. It wasn't terribly shocking, you know. This was a like I said, trying to get the car in perfect condition, and you know, we love the word perfect around here. But I just thought it was funny. I don't know. Have you ever had that type of reaction from a mechanic? I mean, I've had all sorts of phone calls. Generally, the moment I pick up the phone, from the very tone of the first word the mechanic says, I know whether or not it's going to be good or bad news. That much experience with car troubles. Have you ever had something like that?
From a mechanic? No. That would be a first from a mechanic. I've never had something like that. Although when I did do some house renovations years ago, I remember the contractor calling and picking up the phone. I was in a pretty good mood, and he's like, "Well, it's obvious you haven't seen the bill yet." So that was. He says, "You're being way too nice." He says, "I don't think you've seen the bill yet," and I hadn't seen the bill. And yeah, my tone changed a great deal after I saw it. But I've never gotten anything like that from a mechanic. But, you know, the bottom line is, buddy, and I was telling you this earlier, you know, it's peace of mind. You get it fixed. You get it running tip-top shape. Anything you want to do, you can do now, and there you go. So, you know, all in all, it's better, and your help, you help to make the world a safer place
as
well, you know, because, you're not gonna start, well, by driving, yes, exactly.
Yeah, maybe keeping me off the road might be good. No, look, I'm actually, I pride myself in being a very good driver. I just, years and years of relying on driving as a source of income has created a bit of an edge to me when I'm in the car, and it's something I can't shake. So, you know, I have to learn to control my emotions when I'm driving, but for the most part, I'm a very safe driver. I just, you know, sometimes look at it like a game, and maybe I shouldn't. You know, that's the other thing, too. I should know this, because if you're from Massachusetts, or, you know, any state has this type of program, I've taken driver retraining 5 times, Mike. Five. Five, I tell you. And it's the same course. And it's obviously I have not lived in Massachusetts for quite some time. So this happened between ages, obviously, 16 and 28. So in a 14-year span, I did the class. Well, that's not right. In a 12-year span, it's terrible math right there. It's early, Mike. In a 12-year span, I took that class five times. And let me tell you, the very first time I took it was the most miserable experience of my life. So it was in Framingham, and it was held in a old town hall building. And by that, I mean, you open up the doors, it's that old wood floors. You can tell the building was built like 200 years ago. You know what I'm talking about. Anyone from the Northeast, you see this type of, you see it all the time. There's a lot of very old areas of the region. So no air conditioning. It's kind of, I want to say it's like May, so it's kind of humid, it's kind of warm. It's an 8-hour class where it's basically how can you be a better person. I mean, you know, we go over basic driving instruction and rules and all that stuff. People discuss why they are there, and let me tell you, that's the other thing. Anytime you go to one of these places, there's no shortage of characters. I mean, it's really like a sitcom if you think about it. You go in and it's like, I mean, the most animated characters with the craziest, ridiculous stories. Anyways, I go to this class, and first thing in the morning, I'm not feeling good. I can tell I'm starting to get sick, and my throat is killing me, and gradually, in the very early parts in the morning, it starts to swell, and swollen to the point where, like, it took me a good 3 seconds to swallow. Because it was so sensitive and sore or whatever. So here I am sitting in this class. I can't talk. I mean, it was excruciatingly painful to talk. And I asked the instructor, I was like, is there any, you know, what can I do here? And he's like, well, if you leave, you have to start the class all over again. And to put it into perspective as to how awful this class was, the fact that I had already put in 3 hours of the 8-hour class, I was willing to put up with the 5 hours of misery so I wouldn't have to do those 3 hours again at another point. That was the first time I went. Clearly, I did not learn my lesson because you have to do these classes based on, you know, a number of violations occurred or, you know, that was in my situation. People were obviously there for accidents or drunk driving or what have you, suspended licenses, all that stuff. I'll tell you what, if you've taken that class, you understand what I'm talking about. They probably still have the same book. They still have the same silly test that you have to take at the end of it. And
probably still the same teachers.
Yeah, pretty much. I'll give some of them credit, though. You could be hit or miss with the teachers, but I got kind of lucky with most of them where, like, they were at least engaging. And, they enjoyed what they were doing. You could tell. Like, they loved this. This was great for them. Miserable for everyone else. But at least they tried to make it a little bit fun.
No, it really is. It is a thankless job in a lot of respects, and it helps when you do have an instructor that really loves it.
Did you ever have to do this?
Really not about. I didn't have to do that, but I do remember driver training, and driver's ed when I was in school, and I remember my driver's ed instructor was just. I mean, there were about at least 55 places just off the top of his head that he would rather be than where he was. And you could tell. And anytime you wanted to get him off of the topic and you didn't feel like hearing him drone on and on about anything, he was a guy that was into powerlifting, and you just start talking about lifting and forget it. That would be the whole, you know, class, and you just get him off on a tangent and that was it. It was one of those excruciating experiences. So as you're saying this, I'm thinking about it and I'm like, yeah, this must have been a really, really tough thing for everyone involved. But, well, you know, bless their hearts if they're able to inject a little bit of energy into it, because it can be dry. From what you've explained, it sounds it.
Well, and here's the situation. You'll learn a little bit more about all these situations, except for the very first one. The very first one was just because I had gotten tickets. But I had to do this twice, I believe. Twice to get my license back. So I unknowingly got my license suspended. This was a couple years ago. Not a couple years ago. This is actually almost 10 years ago now. But I was apparently driving around with a suspended license. No idea. No clue. Massachusetts does such a piss poor job of notifying anyone of anything. So in this case, I didn't have a clue. So I get pulled over and, you know, I'm thinking, okay, whatever, you know, I'm going to get a warning, get off. The cop comes back, tells me, hey, is there any reason why you'd be driving around with a suspended license? And I think my reaction was so genuine that he believed me when I said I had no idea. So fortunately, I avoided any sort of, you know, huge deal when it came to that. But I still had to go to court. My license was suspended, and I had to, one of the requirements was to take this course before I can start the reinstatement process. And I'll tell you what, every single time, too, that this course had to come up and I had to take it, it was always 2 hours away. You know, at the time, I was living out by Amherst and Hadley in that area, UMass. I had to go to, like, Dedham 1 year, which is, you know, basically almost Boston Route 1 area, you know, right by Foxborough, just a, you know, hop, skip, and a jump down the road from Foxborough Stadium. That was 2 hours. There's another time where I had to go, I don't even, almost to Connecticut for another one. Again, the whole experience is just awful. You know, the only highlight is just seeing the interesting characters. One more thing. There was another time I went, this was actually in Springfield, so this was the only time it was actually close. The instructor's going through, like, the beginning spiel and just, you know, kind of tongue-in-cheek, like, now, I know I have to say this, but if you happen to have any weapons on you, you are not allowed to bring them. And, you know, everyone's like, oh, ha, 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 ha. Except for one kid. He raised his hand. And he's like, what about big blades? And their instructor, like, looked at him like, wait, what are you talking about? And he literally pulls out this, like, knife that I'm like, what the hell? I mean, the thing, it had to have been at least 6 inches long. And again, I don't know what the laws are when it comes to legalities, when it comes to blades or things like that. But, like, if there was a, there was any sort of law against large knives, that one definitely would have been on the list. And the instructor, everyone in the class, myself included, were just flabbergasted, really. We're like, okay, first of all, you know, why would you feel the need to bring essentially a mini machete to a driver retraining class? And, yeah, so again, interesting characters, no shortage of them in these classes.
Unreal. absolutely unreal.
I'm telling you, it's... Gotta love it. I've fortunately have not had any of those issues recently. Now, again, I live down in Florida. I'm sure they have the same, if not the same class, a very similar one, because this is a national program. So it's not like it's exclusive to just Massachusetts. It's just, it just so happens that, you know, these are the places that I took it. So anyways, memory lane. Good stuff. Good stuff. Oh, another funny story. You know, my first speeding ticket, you know who gave it to me? My DARE officer. How about that, huh?
Man. Wow. Yeah. I want to talk about ironic.
Yeah, well, we could get into how even more ironic that whole situation was, but this is...
Yeah, we probably should.
Yeah, this is a bit of a family show.
I'm thinking that's not a good idea.
Yeah, no, we're not going to get into that. You can draw your own conclusions from my statement there, but first ticket I ever got from my DARE officer. It was a hoot. Actually, not to my mother. That was quite the explanation. And then the worst part was, so now we're talking about memories about driving now, and this is something else. But 12 hours later, I got my second career ticket in my driving. Now you know why I had to take this class 5 times. See, it all comes back, you know.
Now it's all starting to make sense here.
Yeah, yeah. So 2 tickets, 12 hours. Yep. That was me. So yep. Anyways.
Interesting stuff.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. Well, folks, as much fun as we've had delving into Ian's difficulties behind the wheel throughout his entire life, I got a quick little anecdote to share, and it does come from the world of professional sports. Thanks to our good friends over at Quirky Research on Twitter, at Quirky Research. And folks, I don't know if this is actually factually correct. I haven't seen a fact check or anything like that, but this was retweeted by Ian Rappaport of NFL Network himself saying even he had never seen this before. So it's not a situation where we've been had or anything like that. Right now, this appears to be an actual story, and anybody maybe can fill this in. But did you know that on this date in 1983, the winningest quarterback at that time checked into a Louisiana hospital using an assumed name? Now, can you name that winningest quarterback of all time in 1983 that might have checked into a hospital to have some surgery?
Oh, my God. I feel like I know this. It has to be 1983, so. Ken Stabler?
Not a bad guess, but no. It was one Terry Bradshaw.
Oh, that was my other choice, but I don't know. For some reason, I was thinking he just wasn't the winningest quarterback at that point. I should have known.
No, that's not a bad guess. Not a bad guess, but no, it was. And the UPI report from Shreveport, Louisiana reads, hiding behind an alias, Pittsburgh Steeler quarterback Terry Bradshaw entered a North Louisiana hospital and underwent minor surgery for muscle tears in the elbow of his throwing arm. Basically, what this does, folks, is it equates to the same thing as tennis elbow. Terry was going in to have a little cleanup work, and apparently he didn't want to bring attention to himself. He didn't want anybody to know that he was there or the, you know, people to see his name on a hospital register. During the stay, Bradshaw made rounds in the hospital, visited sick children, really cheered them up, officials had said during his stay throughout the hospital. But at the time, he was a four-time winning Super Bowl quarterback, and he was admitted to the doctor's hospital on this day in March 3rd under an assumed name. What possible name could he have selected? And folks, if this is indeed true,
Romeo Blues,
this is the ultimate, ultimate irony.
You're asking me.
I'm asking you to take a shot in the dark.
Romeo and Blues. Honestly,
you are going to kick yourself when I tell you. And believe me, I never would have got this either. He checked in to the doctor's hospital on March 3rd under the name Thomas Brady. Bradshaw, who owns a farm south of Shreveport, was operated on the same day and left the hospital on March 5th, said hospital administrator Charles Boyd. Many times we have to admit people under an assumed name or under no name to keep the press and fans away, said Dr. Burdick, a Shreveport orthopedic surgeon who repaired the small muscle tears in Bradshaw's elbow. I'm speechless.
I'm without speech.
Yep. The headline of this article reads, Steelers Tom Brady undergoes arm surgery.
Wow. That's incredible.
Go to Quirky Research at Quirky Research, all one word, and you'll see the article and everything that I just brought up, everything that I just told. No question about it, but apparently, Tom Brady has the ability to travel through time. And who knew? Who knew that Tom Brady had this type of power? Although we shouldn't be surprised.
No, that's what I was just going to say. I don't doubt him. From one story of deception to another. See how we do that here? Actually, it was perfect when you started talking about that because
gotta love it.
Yeah, it's great. Yesterday, obviously, we talked about J.J. Watt signing with the Cardinals, and we all know that he kind of announced it and broke the news himself and did so with a Cardinals T-shirt. And, you know, this is a situation where, like, wait a minute. So, you know, how do you get that T-shirt so quickly? You know, are you going to arouse suspicion? So he kind of went into the story of how that came about.
A few days earlier, we had known, like, kind of the final, you know, four or five teams. We had an idea of who the final four or five teams were. So I had shirts for each team ordered just in case, you know, the situation arose. But we were trying to keep this so quiet that I didn't trust whoever at the packaging facility would not see my name on the package and put two and two together. And so I had my brother's high school friend use his credit card and his address, and he shipped the shirts to his house, and then he brought them over to my house so that we could make this all happen. So shout out to Doug and Joe for making this happen. I appreciate you guys. they're the true brains behind the shirt that I wore for the workout.
Yeah, so obviously the links that he has to go, you think, oh, he's just a little paranoid. But no, really, I mean, look, if that delivery person has a Twitter account, well, guess what? They're going to go on and take a picture and break the news, and all of a sudden it catches fire. But I thought that was pretty funny. Still doesn't change my mind. You know, each morning I wake up and I think this is a worse and worse deal for the Cardinals. But I guess that's another topic. Much.
Yeah, pretty much. So interesting stuff from the world of sports deception. I still say the best alias is still Ron Mexico to this day. but I mean, it's it is.
What about would this count as maybe not an alias but a disguise? How about Theo Epstein in a gorilla costume? I'd say that's quite the bit of deception right there.
I would say so as well. Yeah, I would. I would say so as well. Maybe Vince is the higher power, you know, revealing himself right. as, you know, if we're getting into WWE. I mean, well, Vince is the king of deception, so I think it's a little difficult to put that on. But no, all kidding aside, folks, when I read this morning, I was just absolutely taken back by it. And it just, the irony of this is just so thick and so amazing. You have to think at some point, if Tom Brady did not know this, that he's going to be ribbing Terry Bradshaw about this very, very soon. From what I understand, the two do have a good personal relationship. So neither one of them are above ribbing the other without any question. Two good senses of humor. And I'm looking forward to seeing the back and forth on this. If in fact it is true, and by all accounts, it looks like it is. I don't think that this is fabricated. Yeah, but what are the odds that he would have chosen that name? I mean, really,
it was prognostication.
Thomas Brady, yeah. I mean, Thomas Brady is not an abstract name. It is common name.
I had a friend from college whose her father's name was Tom Brady. So yeah,
exactly. So
it's kind of a joke. Really is.
I think
joke.
They did that at the Super Bowl a few years ago, didn't they? Like, what is it like to be Tom Brady in New England? Yeah. And they interviewed a whole bunch of guys that were named Thomas Brady. Yeah,
that was right.
They went around
I might have to try to find that. I'm gonna put my quick wit search to the test right now as you keep talking.
Very,
I'm gonna try
very
to
good.
Find.
Yep. Well, while you're doing that, I will move on to some tangible news in professional sports. And you kind of hit on this when you hit on J.J. Watt. That's a little more grounded and a little bit more relevant to what we're doing now. But a couple of interesting developments in the NFL yesterday, without question. Couple of releases by players of players that, you know, were expected to be a big part of their team. One of them probably a little bit more visible or a little bit more expected. One of them really came as a big surprise to me anyway. We'll start with the one that is pretty much a foregone conclusion, I would say. I wouldn't say a foregone conclusion. That's really the wrong choice of word. That's still coffee's still kicking in, folks. Still reeling from that Tom Brady story. But in any case, Kyle Rudolph being released by the Minnesota Vikings after 10 seasons. Hello, Claire, by the way. We are talking tight ends right now. I know you love you some Kyle Rudolph, so listen up. This move is not completely unexpected. Kind of saw the handwriting on the wall for the last couple of years, and knowing that this move was going to be able to save Minnesota some cap space. $5.1 million against the cap for 2021 is the exact savings. At 31 years of age, Rudolph now becomes a free agent for the first time in his NFL career. And this kid is, I call him a kid, not a kid. To me, he's a kid. But, you know, I call these guys, transitional players because they still have a lot left in the tank. They still have a lot left on the field, but they're on the north side of 30. So do you throw a large amount of cash at someone like a Kyle Rudolph to come in and to be your tight end of the future, or is he a stopgap option? He's going to have no shortage of suitors. There's going to be a lot of different teams out there that are looking for tight end help. You're already hearing about, Green Bay because of Chicago's depth at the tight end position. You're hearing about possibly, I've heard, Las Vegas and pairing him alongside Darren Waller and making a really formidable combination there. The New England Patriots could be in on Kyle Rudolph. They should be in on any tight end right now to upgrade what they have. He'd be a nice addition. If you take Devin Asiasi, Dalton Keene, maybe even sprinkle in a Ryan Izzo this year, you add Kyle Rudolph to that mix, all of a sudden you have that veteran that you're looking for to take some of the pressure off Izzo. A lot was on his shoulders this year. So when you look at these teams, they might be in on Kyle Rudolph as well, but he penned a pretty heartfelt letter of thanks to the people in the city of Minnesota, class act, and you know, you wish him the best, and he'll be fine. He will land on his feet, and he'll definitely make an impact on the team that he does sign with, because there is an awful lot of football left in him. The other.
Well, let me say real quick on Kyle Rudolph. I think he's you know, he would be a good, obviously any upgrade at this point to the tight end position for New England would, you know, he would certainly represent that. You know, again, the name is certainly recognizable, and he's been, you know, rumored as, like you said, kind of being available for the last couple years now. So, do I think it would be a good signing for New England? Sure. I mean, there's a lot of things that this team could do, and you're going to talk about one here in just a minute that, you know, would be an option not only for them, but for a lot of teams, because this, I think, was more of a surprise release. So,
yeah, exactly. And this one, like I said, was not really a complete shock to me. And it'll be interesting to see where Kyle Rudolph does end up. The other was a surprise to me. Mm-hmm. I didn't see this one coming, but it does make sense when you look at what type of a cap savings that they would incur by releasing him. And that is Kyle Van Noy, after only one season with the Miami Dolphins at the linebacker position. This one was a little bit of a surprise. Definitely, you want to talk about cash grab. Credit to Kyle Van Noy. He did an amazing job of amassing a good amount of money in just one season down in Miami. He ends up being on the open market now, and there are a lot of teams out there that are looking for linebacker help, and one of them is his former team. Mm-hmm. And according to several sources, and you've seen a lot of Patriots beat writers tweet out the same thing, you know, people that I've spoken with, you know, regardless, do believe that this is a possibility. Now, it's not a slam dunk, folks, and I really want to be very cautious to Patriots fans out there that think that Kyle's already packing his bags, Van Noy meaning, and he's on his way back to Foxborough. There are a lot of other teams that could be, you know, in the run for his services, two of which are in the Meadowlands, the Giants and the Jets. Both of them would love the opportunity to be able to sign someone of Kyle's versatility in that department, and they both need help at the linebacker position. So these two opportunities could be out there, but it would be interesting. It really would be interesting to see Kyle Van Noy come back to New England, especially after maybe taking a little bit of a pot shot at them at the end of the season last year, when Miami came in and was able to beat New England in their second meeting, or at least they were able to take care of them in the second half of the season, making the comment about the honeymoon being over. I think a lot of that was blown out of context. I know you'll get a lot of Patriots fans out there that are using that for fodder. I've seen that plastered all over some people's Twitter pages. And, oh, look at what he said. Oh, yeah, well, you know what? Comments like that have never been deal breakers. You know, if Bill Belichick feels that his best interest is best served by bringing in a player that's going to help him win, it's exactly what he's going to do. He's not going to care about what Kyle Van Noy said. And really, I mean, those comments were very tame compared to what some other players have said have been brought back. So, you know, that's my two cents on Kyle Van Noy. It would make sense because the Patriots need help in that linebacking crew, pairing him back alongside with Dante Hightower, him being a mentor to guys like Joshua Uche and guys like Anthony Jennings would be huge on this team. But before you go ahead and start taking, if any of you had the Kyle Van Noy jerseys, yeah, Blackie, I'm talking to you. if anybody still does have those, before you take the number 53 out of the closet, you know, beware that there are other teams that are going to be out there searching for that type of linebacker, and that he will have other suitors.
Yeah, I mean, look, he's a quality player, and I mean, he had a really good season last year, or at least I, you know, from the outside looking in, seemed like he did with the Dolphins, and obviously he played really well in his time with the Patriots. So for those out there who think Bill Belichick's a bad GM, who acquired him from Detroit? Answer that question for me. You can text 626-310-8882. No, I know the answer, obviously. It's Bill Belichick, because he's a great GM. Let's forget this nonsense that we've heard over the last 9 months or so. Should the Patriots entertain this? Absolutely. It's familiarity, and it's not just, oh, hey, we know this name, let's bring him back. It's, you know, this would be a quality addition. Now, again, this isn't going to be the game, you know, the top game plan of the offseason for the Patriots. I just think that, you know, you look at it, you do your homework, just like you would in most cases. We heard the Patriots inquired about J.J. Watt, but it sounded like they were far more along the lines of where I was thinking J.J. Watt's value was, because they realized very quickly that their numbers were not even close. And so my thought is, well, maybe they offered him $7-8 million a year, which is kind of what I was saying that I thought he was worth. So, but Van Noy, I think, should be obviously an interesting option for New England. It's not a huge game changer. So it's not like a do or die, you have to sign him. No, it would be nice, but there are other players out there and there are other needs for this team. One of which is the linebackers. I'm not saying that's not a need, but I'm saying there are many needs for this team, and the most important one is probably the quarterback, or at least a resolution to the quarterback situation, because I do think, despite what other people think or say, going back-to-back with Cam Newton is not a bad situation, certainly given the landscape of the availability of who's out there. So let's just put it this way. I'm not going to replace a top 15-20 quarterback with another top 15-20 quarterback. You know what I mean? I'd rather bank on potential with Cam. And look, I mean, I think a lot of people have been, well, not, I don't want to say a lot of people, because he certainly has his, you know, to the grave defenders, which, you know, that's almost as bad as the entirely anti-Cam group. I mean, it's just two ends of two extremes that just, it doesn't make sense why either group is on either side. But, you know, he didn't have the best situation. I mean, obviously, many teams, all teams didn't have the traditional offseason we're used to, or preseason games. Cam in particular was coming off a long season in which he missed a lot of games because of injury. He came in late to, again, a shortened offseason with no preseason games. He was playing fairly well, and then he got COVID, and he was out for a month, and the entire team suffered. And, you know, it just, nothing ever was really too high or too low for the rest of the season. It was kind of just meh. So I'm thinking, like, okay, what's, I feel like he's getting a bad bad shake here from the people that just want to get rid of him, because I feel like the circumstances in which he came in to take over this team, it's a tough deal. And then you add in the fact, and I've said this before, and it can't be understated, I feel like it's not even mentioned, you're coming in to replace Tom Brady. You know how much pressure that is? You know how much pressure it is on him individually? From you know, the fan base, I'm sure, again, maybe not to the extent of the fans, but the teammates, you know, you have to live up to a standard that has been, you know, entrenched in New England for 20 years. And it's not just play on the field, but it's in the locker room. And by all accounts, Cam passed that with flying colors, you know, in the locker room as a leader, as a person, as a human in that locker room. He was as respected as anyone from the surface, from the outside looking in, and from everything every teammate has said about him this season. That team, that locker room respected him, and they, you know, they trusted what he said. So to me, I look at it, it's like I don't want to make a lateral move. I mean, and that's essentially what you're doing if you replace Cam Newton. Now, that's not to say I don't think that they could go out and draft a quarterback. We've heard that, you know, maybe they go up and try to take a swing for one of these top quarterbacks. That wouldn't surprise me. It still doesn't, to me, change the fact that I do think Cam Newton will be back. And look, I'm eager to see what he does in a full offseason with preseason games and a full season under his belt playing with this team. Like, I feel like we could see a much better Cam Newton next year. Now, does it mean he's going to be Tom Brady? No, no one's Tom Brady. But it could mean that the Patriots could be a very successful team, and, you know, maybe they make a playoff run. Maybe they get into the playoffs. And you know, they still have some talent on this team. So, that's still where I stand. It hasn't changed really since we first talked about who we think the quarterback of the Patriots is going to be next season.
Yeah, absolutely. So well said. And look, that has to be the first domino to drop. And I've said this over and over again. You've said it. It will affect the ability for the Patriots to attract free agents. It'll affect their ability on the draft. They will, tip their hand in terms of draft strategy that way. So maybe there's something to be said about putting a little bit of cloak and dagger into it. But ultimately, behind the scenes, at the very least, they have to know what their plan is going to be at the quarterback position. And they really need to do it before the draft. This needs to be something that really should be done within the next few days with the league year coming up. And you're talking free agency about to start, things of that nature coming to fruition. It's going to be a very busy couple of weeks for the NFL, and a lot of what is going to happen is going to be determined by teams' abilities to bring in free agents, not just with cap space, but also with the supporting cast around them. You make an interesting point on Kyle Van Noy, where it not being a make or break signing, and I've seen a lot of Patriots fans saying they need this. They had terrible linebacker play last year. Yeah, their linebacker play suffered. There's no question about it. You had Juwan Bentley, who was essentially still getting his footing in the NFL, being asked to play the role of two different linebackers, himself and Dante Hightower. And you're also taking away Landon Roberts, and you're taking away the aforementioned Kyle Van Noy. That's way too much to expect on anyone. And Bentley tried to be the play caller. It was a little too much for him. Devin McCourty taking over that role last year. In the draft, there are linebackers that can be had at the right price for the New England Patriots that could come in and be a nice complement. Yesterday on Locked On Patriots, Steve Ballastri and I talked about Dylan Moses out of Alabama. Some injury history. I know a lot of people are a little concerned with the ACL and difficulties that he's had. But if this kid is healthy and he can prove that he can withstand the rigors of an NFL season, the Patriots may be able to find a diamond in the rough if he's available in those mid rounds. Right now, I have him ranked around, right around the 90th prospect in this draft. So this could be a situation where you might see him in the third round. And if that's the case and the Patriots see his name, I would lunge at this chance, because this kid is like a heat-seeking missile when he's on. And he really has a nose for being able to find the defender and also be able to drop back and stop the run a little bit as well. So there are options if they do miss out on Kyle Van Noy, but his knowledge of the system might be what draws the Patriots and Bill Belichick back to him. There wouldn't be a whole lot of learning curve for Kyle. That's the advantage of bringing someone like that in. If you're in a win now mode, he's probably the guy to go to. But if they miss out on him, there are younger options that are available out there. I'm a little more intrigued by Rudolph at this point, because they do need tight end help. They need a veteran tight end.
And Belichick has gotten a whole lot of criticism for his general manager managing abilities, which is funny in and of itself. But one thing that he's pretty damn good at doing is drafting front seven players. Doesn't mean every single one has been a hit, no. But for the most part, he's drafted a lot of very solid players. And with the emergence of guys like Bentley, who, again, I would expect to improve a bit this season, and some of the other younger guys, you know, maybe they look in and say, yeah, it would be nice to have Kyle Van Noy, but you know what? We can spend that money elsewhere. And it is probably a smart move, because you're getting Dante Hightower back. So, you know, in terms of leadership, do you need more than that? Yeah, it's nice, but, you know, it's not like this team is void of leadership in that locker room, in that linebacker locker room. So, would it be nice? Sure. I'd prefer a below-market deal, as I'm sure the Patriots would. And I think in that case, maybe you say, yeah, hey, why the hell not? I mean, he's a good player. He'll be good for this team, but I think maybe my preference might be to just trust what they do in the draft, because, well, regardless of whether who he signs with, they're still getting a fourth round compensatory pick for Kyle Van Noy, which again goes to show you how simply judging someone on selective second and third round draft picks and their general manager abilities is silly. Oh, hey, you know what? We're going to get an opinion of someone else here in just a minute. But giving them a criticism for that and not really realizing the depth of the general manager process is pretty silly. But we do have... Oh, you know what? I think we just lost them. Joel, I think that was you, because by you know, by the record that I have of the text here, I think you were calling in. I was just about to put you through. So if you want to try hopping on again, go ahead and do it, and I'll get you right in. So
yeah, Ian will promise not to hang up on you this time.
Yeah. Well, I was trying to put him into the lobby. I was trying. This is a new, you know, not new, but you know, we're trying to get used to the whole setup, and we want to make sure that we get everything right here. And I wanted to finish my point, but next time I will get him in right away. So Joel, if you're still listening, definitely call us right back before we have to get off the air, you know? So yeah, that's where I stand with Kyle Van Noy. Again, I would love to have him on the team, but at the right price, and certainly not at the expense of steering away from the linebacking draft pick or maybe some of the younger guys.
Yeah, and again, like I said, there are other options for the Patriots if they indeed do miss out on someone like Kyle Van Noy. But again, it does make a lot of sense. So you can see the argument. This is really one of the ones that I can see the argument on with both sides. And I really don't think they make a terrible decision either way, because I don't think Van Noy is going to break the bank this time around. Well, I think there will be.
Lips, I was going to say, let's we'll ask our caller from the 781 that. It's Joel, is this you? Oh, maybe not.
Hey.
Oh, there we go.
Ian, how you doing?
How we doing? I thought we lost you there for a second, so.
No, I just wanted to turn on my radio, the volume on. So that I didn't get feedback.
Veteran pro. I like it.
So I agree with you in about Cam Newton, mm-hmm. Talking about how I want to give him one more chance, mm-hmm. Because not everyone's remembering that there wasn't the salary cap was limited,
yep.
If I remember correctly. So right up until, you know, the opt-outs, you know, and everyone thinks that we had all this money to spend. Now we have all this money to spend. And given Cam some time, I think the ability to work with that cap space, I guess. And I think Bill, it's more really important that Bill picks up another star player. I don't know who it is, but I think you need someone else to help Cam, whether it be a wide receiver or a tight end, something like that.
I agree 100%. You have a lot more money to mess around with to improve this team, and you have to improve this team. And to your point, last year you also remember the Antonio Brown grievance money didn't come off the board until very late in the season, let alone in the off season or in the preseason. And then of course you had that $13.5 million for Tom Brady, which you're not going to have this season. So yeah, I see. That's why I like you, Joel. You agree with me. And that's why I like Mike, too. He likes to agree with me, too. So, but I think this is a reasonable...
Well, I'm contractually obligated to agree with him, Joel. He appreciates you more because you do it willingly.
Yes.
Yeah.
I have to force Mike to do this. So, since we have you on here, real quick, I'm going to ask you, what are your thoughts on, you know, Kyle Van Noy? You know, we talk about Cam Newton, but would you want to see, we're going to flip the question to you, do you want to see Kyle Van Noy back in a Patriots uniform?
Yes. I think I was saying whatever bridges he burned, I'll be the one to build them.
So. I like that.
I like that. And I'll bring him back yesterday, but
welcome back. That was Come great. On, buddy. You that know, if he's really going was. To, it depends, but he's not, I don't think he's going to go to the Jets unless they give him a really good, no way. That's a horrible team. The Giants I'll give him, but not the Jets.
Well, the Giants might be because of the connection with Joe Judge, and you know that he's valuing these guys. Kyle did fill in a lot and played a good role on special teams, so there's a synergy there, and there is a connection, and that's one to watch. I happen to agree with you on the Jets. I don't think that's necessarily the fit, but they do have the money to offer, and they do have a need at the position, and ultimately, that may end up being what talks in this case, my friend. I agree with you on Van Noy, though, and the burned bridges. I think way too much is being made of that. I think if you look at the comments on the surface, they weren't as inflammatory as I've seen some other comments made by players that were brought back, players that had difficulties and things to say in the past and problems. I mean, this team brought back Deion Branch, and he flourished here for a number of years following his second tour of duty here, and he had some pretty nasty things to say about the organization on his way out. If Bill Belichick feels it's in his best interest to bring in a guy that's going to help him, he's going to do it. He's not going to worry about the comments that he's made to the media. I know a lot of people love to make a lot of headway on the fact that, oh, Belichick's got rabbit ears, and Amendola badmouthed him. You'll never see him. He'll be in the Belichick doghouse. There are other reasons why Danny Amendola is not going to be brought back to Foxborough, that are independent of some of those comments that he's made. But I don't think the Van Noy situation would be held up by any type of burn bridges that he might have had. If there's still a willingness to do business on both sides. I know I tweeted yesterday about amicable, but I don't even think it needs to be amicable. I think it's just as long as they're willing to do business on both sides, either one of those sides would be happy to make that deal.
Look, you know what stands in the way? Money. That's what's going to stand in the way of Van Noy coming back. Yeah. Because I do think he's going to get paid a good amount of money, and he deserves it. I'm not saying he doesn't, but the Patriots shouldn't and probably won't do that. Joel, I can confidently say, you are the single greatest caller ever to the show. So congratulations. You can hold that honor until maybe we pass it on to someone else, or maybe you'll be like Tom Brady and be the GOAT forever. So thanks for tuning in here. And we want to hear from you again. So, save this number and give us a call whenever you want, because we like that stuff. So thanks, Joel.
I'll save it until I'll be the single greatest caller until Claire calls in.
Yeah, so. we got to get a different number
for
her.
That international number.
Yeah, exactly. Then, we're working on it.
And Claire, she'll call in internationally.
Yeah, exactly.
Joel, all kidding aside, thank you for all of the support that you provide to us, buddy. We really appreciate you, and thanks for being our caller today. We do appreciate it. Call back in anytime.
You guys provide great content. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
No, that was great. We had our first opportunity to really test out the improved phone system. We had so many technical problems with it when we tried working with it before. So this was this was nice to be able to do that, and of course, be able to talk to one of our biggest fans. So, like I said, we're putting up a list. Number one, Joel's at the top of the list, greatest caller of all time to the TV show. And technically, I guess it's on the web on camera, but it is a radio show. So, greatest caller ever.
I was just gonna say Joel is great. He's one of a kind, and we absolutely love when he calls in, and always a good stuff. So glad to have him as our caller this morning.
Yeah, Joel is going to be in the group of our quality callers. I still want some like maniacs to call in, you know what I mean? Like I want some wacky I don't want to use the word wacky because I don't want it to seem like I'm saying like whack pack, but I'm saying like just wacky out of there. There's a few people I have in mind that I've interacted a few times on Twitter that I kind of wish would call in, because I kind of want to put a sound of a voice to the name and see how accurate or inaccurate I am when I put it to my imagination. But I also want to see the craziness or hear the craziness firsthand. But no, that was great. Folks, obviously, we're wrapping up the show here in a couple minutes, so we're not going to take any more calls. I know it's blowing up. Not really. We only got the one today. But we do want to hear from you guys more frequently. So write down the number 626-310-8882. You can use it during our show and, of course, during Dylan and Ross Safe Sports Live every Monday through Friday right here at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So definitely write that number down. Like I mentioned yesterday, we're going to start working in some contests. We're going to test the knowledge of my co-host here on a few things, and we're going to give away some prizes. So that number is going to become very, very crucial to everyone out there listening. So thank you for tuning in today. We will be back tomorrow. I believe we have John Sapicetti on tap, so we're going to have a lot of fun talking to him, or at least I will, and Mike will be hanging out in the background and be chiming in with words of wisdom. He's very
I'll
efficient.
Have a lot of fun listening.
Yes.
So,
yeah. Hopefully the listeners will,
too. Dynamite drop-ins tomorrow by me.
Of course, of course. But in any case, give us a follow on Twitter at FPC Radio Live, at Full Press Radio. I'm at IGLEN31. He is at MDABATEFPC. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.